Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's Kenny and Carlin on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Tune into the ESPN Daily Podcast, bringing you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters. Presented by Supercuts. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily. Available wherever you enjoy your podcast. Ken in D.C., we see you on the CC call-in line. That's a lot of C's, Carlin, by the way. But right now, we got to hold up the number one finger, Carlin, and we got to clear it out like Allen Iverson did once upon a time against Shannon Penn in Hampton, Virginia. We got to clear it out because we're bringing on our good friend, SportsCenter anchor Kevin Negandhi. And first of all, I know Kevin wants to go off on you. He actually might be Kristoff at you, Carlin, but we're going to get to that in a second. But Kev, I got to ask you this question because we got the news of the day earlier with Nikola Jokic expected to be announced as the MVP. He's the 13th player to win back-to-back MVPs. Your thoughts on Jokic winning MVP, especially seeming as your guy Embiid got hosed for MVP this year?
Canty, my first reaction is warp that, man. Like, they go with the analysis and the analytics, and listen, Jokic is a phenomenal player. My eyes don't lie. And what you saw in the last two games of this series, I heard you guys talk a little bit about it, like, it just changed the entire dynamic of the series. And I think it's just really unfair. Let's not forget, back in March, who was the front runner to win the MVP? And then that month, everything changed because it was the optics of, oh, now Embiid has James Harden. Did we forget? Did we forget what happened the previous 4 months? What he did in January to carry that team? No Ben Simmons around, dealing with the drama. They're still trying to find a number two guy that can help him. And then Tyrese Maxey emerges slowly as the season is progressing. But Embiid was doing this by himself. And I know people are going to talk about the injuries with Denver. I don't want to hear that. But I will also say this. We move on. I know one guy's still playing, and I saw the impact he's had the last two games, and he's still not at his best, dealing with a bad thumb, has to adjust to the mask, but the spacing and the confidence he brings around with everybody on the floor, that to me makes him the most valuable player. And you know what? You guys intro'd me with that soundbite that Carlin had a great point when you're talking about Ja Morant. He's not the best player in that series, but he's the most valuable player in that series on what he means to the Grizzlies, right? It changes everything when he's on the floor. And so we go with who's the best player to who's the most valuable player. And then if you're doing that measuring stick, Joel Embiid the last two games has proved positive. And I understand it's a regular season award. He's been doing that all season long.
Okay. You sound shot out of a cannon today because you had a nice weekend. Is that accurate?
Hell yeah. And I was there last night. I witnessed it. Okay, Carlin? You're going to get it. You called me an optimist. I heard all the trash you were giving me last week.
Exactly.
And it feels good.
It feels good. But here's what bothers me about this right now. And you should know this. You should know this better than anybody. The series isn't over. What are you doing? Why would you do this? Why would you pick up the phone knowing full well there's still three games to play? And there are three games to play here. But why would you do just because I said the series was over to begin with? Is that why?
No, well, maybe because I wanted to get it in now because I also know the next three games are going to be grueling. I may not have that opportunity again. But I will also say we've got 21 on the floor. And look at the spacing. And you brought up a great point earlier in this hour. Anybody that knows, the backups play really well at home, right? All of a sudden, those shots start to fall at home. I will point out one thing. Those shots weren't falling for the Danny Greens and the Niangs of the world in the first two games because they felt the need they had to make it because Embiid wasn't on the floor. The one thing Embiid does is, I think he gives the confidence to everybody on the floor. If you miss it, it's going to be okay. You don't have to worry. I'm going to make sure we get enough offense. But those first two games, it was all about we can't miss. And I thought the last two games, if we miss, it's going to be okay. Next time down the floor, we reset. And also, I'm not sure what we're going to get out of James Harden, because that was Houston James Harden last night. That was emotional James Harden. We haven't seen the 30 games in Philly so far this entire season. But if you get that number two guy that is either Maxey or Harden matching up and playing well, I like the Sixers' chances, because when you look at everybody else on the other side, Kyle Lowry, he's got a bad wheel. He can't run the floor. And it's Jimmy Butler's the only guy that's fearless on the floor with the Heat, because I thought Doc has done a great job the last two games finding a way to neutralize Tyler Hero. So what adjustment will Eric Spoelstra make in the next game? And it could be the Raptors playbook, where you're going to basically double down on Harden, but they don't have the length that the Raptors have. So I'm curious about that.
Talking with SportsCenter anchor Kevin Negandhi on Canty and Carlin. And Kevin, I know how you and the Philadelphia sports fans feel today after the weekend that you guys had. I can't imagine that the Dallas Mavericks fans feel a lot different, because their team was able to tie their series up 2-2 with the Phoenix Suns over the weekend. How impressed were you seeing what the Mavs did in games 3 and 4?
Yeah, I gotta give credit to Jason Kidd as well, because Kidd, the first two games, after each game, he called his entire team out in a certain way where he challenged them. He didn't call them bums, but he just said, hey, Luka's the only one showing up. I'm going to challenge everybody. And he did it in a way where I thought it was a professionalism that sometimes some coaches don't have, or the understanding when the pressure's on. And that shows you, I think, the game experience that Kidd has brought through the years, and also being in several battles when it comes to playoff pedigree. I thought he made it in a way that, are you guys going to help your guy? I'm not calling you out, but are you going to help your guy, Luka? Because Luka needs it. That intensity played a different role, right, those last two games. But it goes back to Carlin. You're in Dallas. All right, what are you going to do now back in Phoenix? How are you going to handle that situation? And let me tell you, that Phoenix locker room has taken notice. There is no doubt. Oh, you're going to go in on Chris Paul? You're going to do this to Chris Paul? That it may be a wrap the next two games. I wouldn't be surprised if the Suns come out and say, no, we're not dealing with this anymore. We're shutting this down for our guy. We're going to move on to the next round.
See, they do have the feel of a team that can do that. But for whatever reason, that series just feels to me like it's going to be one where the home team wins every game. Now, as far as you're concerned at this point, are you over the top feeling the confidence right now? I mean, take me through the weekend. The weekend just completely changed your outlook. Joel has changed everybody's outlook, as he should. But where is your confidence level right now of winning this series?
All right, Carlin. And listen, you guys can go back in my tweets. Start of the series, even with Embiid out, I said Sixers in six. You want to know why I said Sixers in six?
You were drunk at the time?
Because I knew Embiid was going to be back for game three. I knew he was going to be back. I know there was reports. I knew he was going to be back in game three. And I knew that dynamic on the floor was going to be changed throughout the offense. But, you know, one thing we don't talk about, Joel has done a fantastic job. And I think, Canty, you nailed it last there. Defensively, he changes the entire space on the floor, and the only guy who wants to attack is Jimmy Butler. No one's coming in the lane just because of the presence of 21. Shots are altered because he's there in that space clogging it up. So I will say this. If they take game five, it's a wrap, because the environment for game six will be tremendous. Unless Jimmy Butler gives them 50, who else is going to find a way to score? But I'm going
to
be nice to you, Carlin.
Right,
I don't want you to think I'm crazy. I'll say it's going to go in seven. All right? We'll just do it that way.
No. We believe in take integrity on this show.
Yes.
You said Sixers and six. That's what we're going with. Sixers and six.
And I'm feeling good.
There it is. Kevin Negandhi calling his shot with his Sixers, saying that they're going to beat the Heat in six.
Kevin, we'll hear from you afterward.
Yeah, Kevin, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon, my friend.
Fellas, I appreciate it. Enjoy.
All right. Sixers in six. So after going down 0-2, rattling off four straight wins, including one down in Miami?
Here's what I'm surprised.
Ooh.
I am surprised.
That's a tall task there now.
You know, I know that town.
Yeah.
I am surprised that a Philly guy, after just evening up the series, would pick up the phone and, you know, look to say, now what?
Yeah, he's touching the money a little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah, he's touching the money a little bit. He's touching the money a little bit. All right, Ken, we see you on the CC calling line. We promise we're going to get to you in a second. Also, coming up next, was Jordan Poole's grab of Ja Morant's leg a dirty play? I don't know. We'll talk about it. You're listening to Candy and Carlin, ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Did Embiid get robbed of the MVP? That's what we want to know from you. Hit us up on the CC call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. Kenny and Carlin on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save over $700 on average. So, Carlin, we do have to get to what happened in the game with the Memphis Grizzlies and the Golden State Warriors on Saturday night. But before we do, Ken has been waiting patiently in D.C., wants to chime in on today's MVP news. Ken, you're on ESPN Radio. What up?
Hey, thank you, guys. I really appreciate I love your show. For one thing I want to say first, Canty, you were a beast when you were in Dallas, and Jerry Jones should still be paying you checks for your work.
Well, Ken, I appreciate that. I'm just glad Jerry Jones drafted me in the first place, gave me a shot to get into the league, because it actually opened up the door for me to be doing what I'm doing right now, talking to you. But what you got for us on this MVP convo?
Well, I actually think Joel was robbed, and I agree with what Carlin said earlier. I think the NBA needs to recategorize or redefine the actual position of MVP and most outstanding player, because Joel just outdid everybody this year. And when you look at, if you want to start, you ask your top 10 people who they want to start their team with as a big man, and I guarantee you 9 out of 10 will say Joel Embiid first.
Absolutely they would. And look, the other problem with the MVP voting is that we have no idea what the actual criteria are, because it does seem like it changes every year. Either you're going to stick to it or you're not. And even whatever you tell me it is, when I look at who you end up voting for, it doesn't hold true to form.
Yeah, that's the biggest problem, just the inconsistency from year to year and what seems to be the criteria, what they value, what they don't value, what holds more weight. Those are the things that we want to know. But it seems like with Jokic winning back-to-back MVPs, overwhelmingly the numbers are what wins the day when we start casting ballots for this award. And that's what I have a problem with, Carlin, because as we said before, the numbers don't tell the entire story.
No.
It only tells part of it. And if you watch what happened in the playoffs with Joel Embiid out the first two games against the Heat versus having Embiid for games 3 and 4, you can see how valuable he is to the Sixers. And this is a team, when they're at their best, is a true title contender. Again, at any point this season, did we feel like the Denver Nuggets could contend for a championship?
No.
So Jokic is the MVP of what?
I'll take it a step further. And maybe this is unfair, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
If they had had Michael Porter Jr. and they had had Jamal Murray, but let's just say that Jokic would have missed the season, would they have been a playoff team?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No question.
If Embiid had missed the season, are the Sixers a playoff team? Maybe a play-in.
Probably not.
Maybe play-in.
Maybe play-in team. Yeah.
Exactly.
I agree with that.
That tells me everything I need to know.
That tells me everything I need to know. You know what else I found out? That I learned all I needed to know about this Memphis Grizzlies Golden State Warriors series this weekend when it got back to the Chase Center for Game 3. Because, Carlin, I'm not sure if you saw it. Well, I know you saw it because we talked about it in our production meeting. But the Golden State Warriors boat raced the Memphis Grizzlies 142-112. And the big story coming out of this game was Ja Morant's injury. We saw what happened to him after the trap in the fourth quarter at half court. Tweaked his knee. Taylor Jenkins, the head coach of the Memphis Grizzlies, had plenty to say about it. Let's take a listen to what Taylor Jenkins said about Ja Morant's injury.
Are you saying he did it on accident, on purpose? Was he trying to
watch the film? I don't know.
Oh, you know.
I'm saying that happened. It triggered it.
Okay. But are you saying, I'm asking, are you saying that he did it on purpose or accident?
No, I didn't say that it went on purpose. I said the play happened.
No, no. Which one is it?
There was a grab. I'm just curious what happened.
Okay.
So if you say he triggered an injury, then that means that Jordan Poole caused Ja Morant's injury. Isn't that the insinuation?
Yes. So he's saying it straight out.
So Taylor Jenkins is saying it without being, what, accusatory? I mean, he's not accomplishing anything. Just say it. You think that Jordan Poole had a dirty play against your player. Now, I don't see it that way, Carlin. When I look back at the video, it seems like there's a scrum for the basketball. He's being trapped. Hands are flying everywhere. It didn't feel like Jordan Poole intentionally tried to pull Ja Morant's knee to tweak his knee. That's not what I saw. I don't know that it can be interpreted that way. But it didn't feel like that in real time.
No, it didn't. And I would say that it looks so blatant in some ways that you can't think remotely that's what he was trying to do. He was going for the ball. I absolutely thought that. What Taylor Jenkins is doing there is being passive aggressive. It's like talking to your spouse. He's trying to say it without saying it, and it's silly. And for me, Taylor Jenkins in this instance is dead wrong. This is nowhere near Draymond Green. This is nowhere near Dylan Brooks. The injury actually happened a few plays earlier. If you look at the tape and you see that's when he first kind of messed up his knee.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe it tweaked it even further. What I really didn't like was Ja tweeting out the whole thing about how that's breaking the code.
Yeah.
So, come on.
And here's the other thing, Carlin. Can we start with the deleting a tweet? If you're a star player,
it's up there, dude. The second you hit send.
You got hundreds of thousands of people following you, if not millions. Once you put that out there in social media, people are going to see it. They're going to snatch it. It's never going away.
Nope.
So don't take it down. Or better yet, don't put it up because you make yourself look ridiculous.
You know, he's still a kid. He's still a kid. That's what I chalk it up to it. But at the same time, there's no way that was intentional. And it's unfortunate that we're not going to see him tonight.
But here's the thing, Carlin, I'll say this. I don't think it's going to make a difference. Because even before Ja Morant got hurt, the Memphis Grizzlies were on their way to being embarrassed by the Golden State Warriors.
And if I can't say it's not going to make a difference.
I don't think it's going to make a difference in this series. I felt like Golden State was going to win this series, and it wasn't going to be a 7-game series coming into it. And I still feel that way. Now, maybe it's more of a gentleman's sweep because Ja's out. But, yeah, I didn't see Memphis being able to come on the road and beat Golden State in the Chase Center. So, from that perspective, that's why I didn't think it would make a difference. Coming up next, which QBs are under the most pressure this season? Carlin and I will have the answer, but first, a word from Vivid Seats. The NFL schedule comes out this week, and you can be there to catch all the action in person with Vivid Seats. Every power run, every Hail Mary, every touchdown celebration can be experienced live. And with Vivid Seats rewards, you earn free tickets from your very first purchase. Buy 10 tickets, get the 11th one free. That's like getting 10% back on every ticket. From the 50-yard line to the end zone, Vivid Seats has you covered with the tickets at great prices. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, life happens live. You're listening to Candy and Carlin, ESPN Radio.
Don't press in.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Kenny and Carlin on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Get at us on the Twitter line at Chris Carlin and at Chris Kenny 99. And Andre McClain, we see you on Twitter. Appreciate the shout out. Andre McClain coming with the receipts, Carlin, on Ja Morant. Not only did he not get injured on the play that Taylor Jenkins and the Memphis Grizzlies are claiming, but Ja Morant earlier in the series in game two, deciding to stick his leg out when Steph Curry's blowing by him.
Yeah.
Off the bounce and that's, tripping him and fouling him.
That's more than a little sketchy.
That's breaking the code if I ever saw it. So I'm just saying, just putting that out there. Andre McClain coming with the receipts. We appreciate you tuning in and listening. And speaking of receipts, big fella, there are some quarterbacks that are going to have to come with some receipts this upcoming season in order to hold on to their job as the starting quarterback with their current franchise. Now, the thought was inspired by what I saw from Dan Orlovsky this morning on Get Up when he came out with his fundamental list, the top five quarterbacks under the most pressure coming into this upcoming NFL season. And checking in at number five, he had the Jets' second-year quarterback, Zach Wilson. At number four, he had one Jalen Hurts from the Philadelphia Eagles. Number three, he had Tua from the Miami Dolphins. Number two, Aaron Rodgers, fresh off that $150 million contract. And number one, Dak Prescott from the Dallas Cowboys. So it got me to thinking, and of course I brought this to you guys in our production meeting, who are the quarterbacks that are under the most pressure coming into this year? Now, before we get into the conversation, I feel like we have to qualify it and set certain parameters because there are some quarterbacks that are certainly under pressure, but we don't expect much from them coming into this season, right? Like Marcus Mariota is under pressure to be a starter in the National Football League, but we don't think he's the long-term answer in Atlanta,
no,
right?
No, no. Okay. And they're not expected to win.
No, same thing with Carolina and Sam Darnold. Like, last year showed them enough where they were in the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes. They want to move off him. They want to find a different option at quarterback. Hell, they drafted Matt Corral in the third round. So we don't expect much from those guys, but we acknowledge that they're fighting for their career mortality as a starter. But there is a handful of guys around the National Football League, a half a dozen or so, that have the potential to go either way. Either they could be the long-term starter with the current team that they're on, or they could be relegated to being a career backup. And so before I give you my guys on that list, who comes to mind when we start talking about quarterbacks under the most pressure in 2022?
Tua. Tua Tagovailoa. What else can we do for you? We gave you Tyreek Hill, who is the most explosive player, I think, in the sport. We gave you Jalen Waddle from last year, who developed exceptionally well. We signed Cedric Wilson. We made Mike Gesicki the franchise player. We brought in Teron Armstead. Like, we're doing everything we can here. Chase Edmonds, Raheem Mostert. Like, dude, we're handing it to you. We know you can't throw the ball more than 15 yards in the air. We are making this as easy for you as possible. Tua can't screw this up. And that's really what it boils down to. Tua can't screw this up. I look at the rest of that offense. There's more than enough playmakers there, and there's enough help on the offensive line where Tua needs to be the guy that makes that go. And I'm not 100% sold that he can be that guy yet.
No, I'm with you 1,000%. He's on the hot seat. And guess what? If it doesn't work out for Tua, it's probably not going to work out for their general manager, Chris Greer, either. Because remember, he's the one that passed on Justin Herbert to select Tua. Doesn't seem like that was the right decision. Going to throw a name out here that might not be top of mind for a lot of folks with this conversation. Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah.
Ryan Tannehill coming into the season. You're talking about having the number one seed in the AFC playoff field a year ago, and you throw three interceptions on your way to losing in the divisional round to the Cincinnati Bengals in their second-year quarterback. Not to dismiss Cincinnati because they were a good team. They represented the conference in the Super Bowl. But Ryan Tannehill's got to be better than that when it matters most. Now, the Tennessee Titans couldn't do anything with this contract just because of the dead money. It would have been something like a $50 million cap hit had they tried to trade him or cut him. But that number becomes much more manageable in 2023 in the offseason. So, feels like Ryan Tannehill might be fighting for his career mortality as a starting quarterback.
I apologize if this is one that you were going to bring up, but I have to bring it up.
Go ahead.
Jameis Winston. How is Jameis Winston not in this discussion? Like for Dan in particular, who has talked about how the Saints are one of the possibly better than the Packers this year. And I think he has them as second in the NFC right now. Why is it that we look at everything else that the Saints have done and give them all the credit in the world for having done it, yet somehow we forget that Jameis Winston is the quarterback of this team and has never won very much? Serviceable is a way I would put it for Jameis Winston when he's at his best, Chris.
That's not a ringing endorsement.
No.
And then beyond that, the New Orleans Saints went out and signed him to a two-year contract. That's not exactly a vote of confidence from the organization. So they're telling you, Jameis, we'll give you an opportunity because we don't have anything better to do right now.
And again, gave him a lot more to work with. He's getting Thomas back. You would hope happier and you would hope healthier.
Yep.
They got Olave.
Yep.
They lost Armstead, but they drafted Trevor Penning right up top. These are all, and they got it better defensively when you bring in Matthew. So to me, like, I'm not convinced in the least about the Saints and the NFC yet, simply because they don't have the quarterback position figured out.
No, I'm with you on that one, and I will also raise you when it comes to quarterbacks in this conversation. The three other quarterbacks in the NFC East, Jalen Hurts, Carson Wentz, Daniel Jones, all three of those guys are fighting right now to prove that they are the guy. And of the three, I think Jalen Hurts has the best opportunity just because of the supporting cast around him. I don't anticipate Carson Wentz and Daniel Jones being able to prove that they deserve to be the long-term option for either franchise.
Any of those three left standing at the end of the year? I know who I think is.
Yeah, I mean, Jalen Hurts is the guy I'm rolling with.
I believe Jalen Hurts could play.
Yeah.
I really do. Yeah. I think it's taking a little bit of time, and they continue to get better.
Yep.
Jalen Hurts is going to be the answer in Philadelphia, and that's going to be a nice problem to have next year when you have the extra first-round pick.
Yeah, I think Jalen Hurts at his best can give you some semblance of what we see from Dak Prescott with the right supporting cast. Coming up next, can the Celtics afford another subpar game from Jason Tatum in the series? Carlin and I will weigh in. You're listening to ESPN Radio. Kenny and Carlin talking quarterbacks coming into 2022 under the most pressure. We're going to go out to the CC call-in line and bring on Michael in New Jersey. Michael, you're on with Kenny and Carlin. What up?
Hey, man. First of all, good to be on with you guys. Second of all, I'm just talking about a team that had three names in about 3 years. I'm talking about Carson Wentz. How many chances does this guy get, man? I love my Commanders, but this guy gets too many chances.
I got to believe this is it. And frankly, I can't remember a guy that in the span of 1 year went from being traded for a first-round pick to a guy that the team openly could not wait to get rid of and were no problem, were willing to tell you so. That, like, he had to go.
I'm just trying to think, Carlin.
And it was his coach, too, by the way.
How many first-round picks has Carson Wentz cost the teams that choose to believe in his talent and allow him to be their franchise guy?
Eagles went to get him. They traded up twice.
That was two.
They trade up twice to get him.
Yeah, so that was two first round. I know it was more in that deal, but it was two first-rounders that were a part of that package.
Yep.
Then the Colts gave up a first-round pick this year in order to get him last year.
Yeah.
So you're talking about a minimum of three first-round draft picks.
In addition to everything else.
In addition to everything. We still believing in this dude?
I can't.
We still caping for Carson Wentz? Where's Dan Orlovsky when you need him? How the hell does he come up with a list of quarterbacks under the most pressure and Carson Wentz ain't on it?
And Carson Wentz isn't on it, and neither is Winston for the team that he absolutely loves.
Oh, yeah, he's got the New Orleans Saints as the number three team in the NFC. I don't even know how that's possible.
I don't know how that's possible either. Yeah. But when you have that guy and you're the Commanders and you've decided to try to make it happen here, I don't understand what you're giving up in return. I still felt like they gave up too much in return for what they got.
What did they give up, a three?
I thought a three.
Yeah, it ended up being a three.
When this guy has clearly had the bad influence in the locker room and is not well-liked.
And you already have a bad locker room.
Yes. Why am I bringing that in?
Yeah. The Commanders don't have a good locker room, and it's not a stable organization. I love
Dan
Ron
Snyder
Rivera.
Dan Snyder should lose the team for that.
I love Ron Rivera, but it's not a stable organization. No. Hiring Ron Rivera was like putting lipstick on a pig. And now you're throwing Carson Wentz into a mix with a team where you saw Daron Payne and Jonathan Allen punching each other on the sideline.
See, this is what I don't like about it. I like Ron Rivera, too. I think he's a really good coach. I don't think that's the job he should have taken, because if it doesn't work out, somebody's going to look at him and say, not get another opportunity, and that's unfair.
Can Jason Tatum get his field goal percentage much higher? If the Boston Celtics are going to have a chance in this series, he better. This is Kenny and Carlin on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Hit us up on the CC call-in line. Which favorite in round two is in the most trouble in the NBA playoffs? Hit us up, 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. But, big fella, we got to talk about the other series that we haven't mentioned thus far in the show, and that being the Boston Celtics and the Milwaukee Bucks. Of course, the Bucks took game three, 103-101. It was some drama at the end of the game because of Marcus Smart and, I guess, the attempt to shoot a three-pointer and to draw that foul to shoot three free throws. Ended up only being two free throws. They were in the bonus. They did not call it as a shooting foul. Your thoughts on the play and your thoughts on what happened right after with the scrum for Boston to try to tie that thing up?
Well, I had no problem with the call. And the league came out and showed the video again in their two-minute reviews after the fact and said, this was the right call because the arm was not on the way up yet when he actually got fouled. So in the moment, I thought it was actually the right call too. So that doesn't bother me. And if I'm the Celtics, honestly, just keep quiet. Because if you want to talk about officiating, the last 17 minutes of that game or 15 minutes of that game, the free throw discrepancy was 17-0 in favor of the Celtics.
Mm-hmm.
So stop. Just stop with the complaining about that call. That's not why you lost the game.
Yeah, the Celtics shot twice as many free throws as the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yes, you lost that game for two reasons. Number one, Giannis figured out how to get to work and got his 42 or whatever he ended up with.
Mm-hmm.
And Jason Tatum shoots 4 for 19. You have those two things happen. Listen, if I were the Celtics, like, that's a scenario where I actually feel great about it.
Yeah.
Because Giannis went off, Tatum did nothing, and we're trying to tip the ball in to win the game.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
No, it's not a bad scenario, but Jason Tatum, if he's going to hang out in Club Superstar,
yeah,
this is one of the games, one of the series that he's got to show.
4 for 19 doesn't show.
21% from the field ain't going to get it done, bro.
No,
it's
no.
not. And so we laud the effort that we get from Grant Williams and from Marcus Smart and from Al Horford. But if the Celtics are going to have any chance, their top two players are going to have to play at a higher level than the top two players from the Bucks, that being Giannis and Drew Holiday. And that was not the case on Saturday. So that's the thing that I'm going to be looking for tonight is whether or not Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum can match the intensity that you're getting from the stars from the Milwaukee Bucks. Because if they can't, then you're talking about this series getting wrapped up in short order.
I will be surprised.
Because I don't see the Celtics being able to come back being down 3-1.
I will be surprised if the Celtics don't get high-level play from those two tonight.
Well,
I'll be very surprised.
The Celtics have played great coming off of losses, Carlin. I mean, since we've gotten to this calendar year, you're talking about the Celtics being 10-3 after losses. So I don't see this as a situation where they're going to drop both games to the Milwaukee Bucks in Milwaukee. I don't see it just because this is a team that has a lot of pride, and they've shown when their backs are up against the wall, they usually come out with their best performance. And I think that's what we're in store for tonight. But they still got to go out there and do it. And I don't want to be dismissive of the reigning defending world champions on their home court. And that, to me, is the tall task.
Let's call it what it is. You have been doubting them a little bit, and understandably so, since Middleton went down. You have been doubting the Bucks since Middleton went down.
Here's the thing, and I can't believe I'm about to say this. I actually thought that Boston was the better team coming into the playoffs even before the Middleton injury.
Mm.
And so I'm a little bit surprised to see this series unfold the way that it has. I thought Boston would take control of this thing. I thought it would be 2-1 Boston at this point. But the fact that it's 2-1 the other way leads me to be a little concerned. I got a little bit of angst about my pick. Now, I believe in take integrity. I'm still going to ride with the Boston Celtics. But I ain't saying it with my chest right now, Carlin.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little bit nervous because the best player in the world asserted himself in Saturday's game. And if he's truly figured out how to navigate this Ime Udoka Boston Celtics defensive scheme, then it's going to be tough sledding for the Boston Celtics in terms of being able to get wins, especially on the road. And as we know, the Bucks have already stolen home court. So at some point, Boston has got to win a game on the road. And it felt like Saturday's game was the perfect opportunity for that to happen, and it didn't.
I'll tell you what really has me intrigued about this series as a whole, and I asked you this before we were on the air earlier today. With Ime Udoka, do you feel like the Celtics are at a considerable disadvantage comes to coaching with Budenholzer on the other side? And your answer was, they're not at any kind of deficit.
No, they're not at a deficit. I'm not going to sit here and say that Ime Udoka in his first year as a head coach is a better coach than Bud. But he's not a lesser coach.
If the Celtics lose, that's not going to be because they got outcoached.
No.
That says a lot for Udoka. I mean, this says a lot for the job that Udoka's done.
But you don't think everybody else around the NBA sees it that way?
No, I think they do. But I think we as fans sometimes don't pay as much attention to something like that as a massive factor in this series. When you're going up against a guy that's just won a championship, and let's call it what it was in demand when he was leaving the Hawks.
Yeah.
You know, he got a job in, what, 5 minutes, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that says so much to me about what Udoka's been able to do with the Celtics this year that has made such a huge difference as opposed to the Brad Stevens Celtics.
Yes, I think he has a way of being able to communicate to his players and sell them on the overall agenda and how it could be in their best interest individually. And Carlin, we know that's what it comes down to with this generation of athlete. They want to know what's in it for them. And what's in it for them is what we've seen with the development of Jason Tatum and him emerging as a superstar in this league. Jaylen Brown being able to coexist on the court at the same time with Jason Tatum. That's finally worked. And then Marcus Smart being the orchestrator, solidifying the point guard position on their offense. Those were all things that were huge question marks coming into the season. Remember, Carlin, it wasn't that long ago we were having a conversation about whether you were going to have to move off of Tatum or Brown. That was actually the talk. People didn't think that they could play together.
I never bought that one.
People didn't know how this offense would work. Who was going to be the point guard once you moved off of Kyrie? Nobody had the answer to that. And Ime Udoka came up with all of those things, not to mention transforming them into the second best defensive team in all of basketball.
Look, I'd be surprised if this is not another tight one tonight. Do you believe the Celtics will get this one tonight?
They've been so good after losses, and I think that's a reflection of coaching. So I'm going to say they do get this game tonight.
I am going to have a lot of trouble picking against the Bucks in Milwaukee. So I've been on the Bucks for quite some time. I say they go back to the Garden with a 3-1 series lead.